Chatters, chatties, rescuers, welcome home for A Great American Chat, a podcast where we chat about great American media. I'm Chad Maurice with a very special guest in the house today. It is Tanya Christensen, who plays Lisa Miller, Danny's mom on County Rescue. Tanya, thank you for being here.
Hey, I thank you so much for reaching out to me. I love your podcast. I love your voice. I listen to you when I walk.
Oh, really?
I do. I was walking the other day and I listened to Julia Riley's interview and I was like, that was amazing. So for reaching out to me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, thanks for your follow on Instagram. When I saw that you followed me, I'm like, hey, she's on County Rescue. I'm like, oh, yeah. I got to reach out to her, see if she wants to come on the podcast.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, before we chat about County Rescue, I want people to get to know a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
Well, when I was a little girl, my formative years, I grew up in a very small town in Virginia. And then middle school, I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I stayed there kind of through my early 20s, went to the University of Tennessee, and then I've kind of moved around since then. So I would say Virginia and Tennessee.
Virginia and Tennessee. What part of Virginia did you say?
Well, I was born in Roanoke, and then I was in Hot Springs, Bath County. Okay. Mountainous town, very, very tiny. There's nothing there but the homestead, which is a beautiful resort. But I love those young years there.
Okay.
Playing outside. I'm enjoying.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to live up near DC. I lived in Fairfax, Virginia for a few years. Yeah.
My aunt lived there.
Okay. And then what'd you say? Knoxville, Tennessee?
And then when I was 11, I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I did middle school, high school, college, and my first year.
Now, where is that in relation to Nashville?
About 3 hours. It's east. Nashville's in the middle. And if you keep...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if you grew up in Tennessee, then you must be a country music fan.
I love country music. On the dials on my radio, in my car, at least four of the stations are country. I love it. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite country music artist?
Right now, I love Luke Combs. I love his voice.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah, yeah. He's got to be my number one right now, but it changes, you know.
Yeah. So you went to college in Tennessee. How did you eventually get into the entertainment industry?
Well, it's one of those things, kind of like Danny has that calling. I didn't have that, but it's always been in my heart since I was tiny. You know, when adults ask little kids, what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, we always ask that. Am I always an actress? Always, always, always I'm going to act. And just where I was, my mom never really knew what to do. You know, what do you do with this child? So she would always put me in church plays and school plays and community theater. But then I really didn't get any paying jobs till probably after I graduated college. It wasn't my degree. I didn't get a degree in fine arts or anything. I kind of didn't know what to do with that passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first job out of college was as a show host on a shopping network. And my degree was in retail sciences. And I thought, wow, I can shop and be on TV at the same time. It was kind of that perfect marriage. And then it just went from there.
Uh-huh. Speaking of that.
Oh, see, I'll look at you've done your work.
Now, there you are. Is that the set of the Home Shopping Network?
I was on. You can see Miss Jacqueline Smith.
There's Jacqueline Smith. Yep.
She's on the right. Sarah Anderson is an amazing host right in the middle. And I am Jacqueline's backup. So if she can't make it into the studio, she calls me and I get to represent her brand. So, yep, that's me.
Oh, okay. So you did that. Was that right out of college, you said? Or when?
No, this picture was taken, and I don't know, like 6 months ago, but I was at on a shopping network. It was called and one of the original owners of QVC started it. And I did that for 3 years. It was my very first job right out of University of Tennessee.
Oh, okay. I see.
Very current and recent. So Jacqueline is still at HSN. And whenever she sees me, I just drive up to the studios in St. Petersburg and I fill in for her.
Oh, okay. All right. Now you mentioned QVC. Whoops, let me go back. Speaking of QVC, there was a casting call I saw online a week or so ago that they were looking for a host.
Yes.
So I said, what the heck? I'll apply for it. So I applied for it.
Good for you. Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be fun?
Because I've worked with green screens, I've worked with teleprompters. I'm like, yeah, what the heck? I'll just apply. I'm sure I'm never going to hear anything about it, but.
Never know. You know, that's the thing about this weird industry is you put it out there and then you kind of have to forget about it because who knows how many people have applied to that, but I wish you the best. Love it. I'm different. There are hosts that are that sal they're hosts, that's their job. And then with as a guest, I have different products. So I never really know my schedule, but I kind of like I like that. I like the fact that I have a busy season. And like right now, I'm not so busy over there, but that allows me to do other things as television, commercial work, stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, is it difficult to like when you're on there to like talk about a product for half an hour?
You know, you would think it would be because it's not, it's all, but I'm the host will drive the show and drive you the point of sale, of course. And then I, as the guest, I'm a feature and benefit. So if I really know my product, which I better, it's so easy just to talk about something that I love. And I always find something that I love about everything. I don't have a hard time. As a matter of fact, my director's like, stop talking. Okay, throw it back to the host. Your time's over.
Now, when you were in high school and college, did you do theater then?
I will tell you, this is where it my story took a sad turn. When I was in middle school, we had just moved to a new town, moved to Knoxville, and I was like, well, I'm going to try out for theater. So I sat in, and she said, okay, I hope everyone prepared a song, and I cannot sing. And I was like, a song. And I, next to me, I said, is this the choir room? Oh, this is musical theater. Like, oh my gosh. So I sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's the only song I knew. I didn't get it. I was like, isn't there a tree that I could be? It was unfortunate because in my school, it was only musical theater. And when you can't sing, you can't sing. So I'm a runner too. And I joined the cross country team and I played backgammon.
Oh, okay.
And that slowed down a little bit. And then I would just do little plays with my little neighborhood friend across the street. We would throw neighborhood, we would write our own sketches and throw plays for the parents.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you did musical theater and if you were a singer and dancer. All right.
My daughter's a dancer. She's great. I can't. No, the answer is no. Hey, I'm willing to learn. Anyone, I guess, could learn a, you know, a few steps. As far as vocal range, there's none, unfortunately. That's okay.
Now I read on your social media that people always tell you that you look like Kristen Chenoweth.
Okay. Every day. I was just shooting a movie on Monday, and one of the actors came up to me and he goes, and I was like, I swear, here it I never told you, and I was like, here it comes. You look like, and we said it at the same time. I see it, but I take it as a huge compliment.
The first time I saw you, I thought of it.
Did you really? I don't see it at all, but I think she is the cutest. She might be one of she's the that perfect everything. She has vocal range, she can act, she's so I'll take that as a compliment also.
Oh yeah, you should. You should.
I do.
Now, speaking of her and speaking of this is something that you posted recently on social media, a little video clip of something that you're in. I'm going to show it, and I need to find out the backstory about this. Here
Okay.
it is. Here it is.
This is not what I expected.
So yeah, I got to hear what this project is.
Okay. I just shot that last month, this Monday. That is called Mother Nature and the Doomsday Prepper. It is the most original, unique film that's being shot in this area, in the Tampa Bay area. And I couldn't be more proud of it. It's so fun. And it's about Mother Nature and how everything is perfect and wonderful. And then the Doomsday Preppers that believe that the world's just coming to an end. So my character was this spicy Doomsday Prepper. Everyone else is in camo. And of course, I'm in like sparkly boots and my hot pink. And I just have attitude and spice. That was a fun little role. I only worked a day. There wasn't much else for me in that one. So I just kind of worked and I got it. And I it was so much fun. Sometimes those little roles that are just where you laugh and have a good fun.
I imagine it's a comedy.
It is. It's not dramatic. It's something also designed for families too. There's nothing inappropriate in it. It's going to be a fun little something that you'll have to, maybe it'll be out this time next year.
Okay.
The shooting of the part, and then it's all the editing and all the other work.
All right. Now, something else that you did that also looks like a lot of fun. Okay, that you shot a movie called A Gunfighter's Deal, where you worked with Kevin Sorbo.
I worked with Kevin Sorbo. I worked with Marty Cove, who is the sensei in Cobra Kai, his son, Jesse Cove, and then Terry Kaiser, who was Weekend at Bernie's. We all know Bernie, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all a part of this. This is a really interesting Western where the gunfighter, who is played by Jesse Cove, he makes the deal. You know, there's a gunfighter's deal so that he can be the best in the West. And my character is Maylene Redding, and I'm the reporter who kind of tries to get to the meat of the story. That was extremely fun. We shot it at Dry Creek, which is a great little Western town in Parrish, Florida. I think it was like maybe a 2.5-3 week production. My character, all of her scenes were put together in about 3 days, but very magical, very fun. Kevin was, that man has worked. He's been around, you know, and he is just such a wealth of knowledge and information. And I love to be on sets like this, surrounded by the greats like Marty Cove, Kevin, and Terry Kaiser. Really close my mouth, which is hard to do, and sit there like a sponge and soak it all in, because there's so much knowledge on that set. It was really an honor to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it must have been fun wearing the Western outfits. You got the little old-time Western hat on there.
I stole that hat.
You stole it? Did you really?
Right now, if you give me a second. Yeah, I took it.
Yeah.
All the other characters had these great, like Kevin's hat. That's like a $1,000 custom-designed hat. And mine, I think they got off that on Amazon or something. I was like, you know what? If everyone else gets to keep their hat, I'm walking out. So I put my clothes back on, put my hat on, and walked right out to my car.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, I look forward to seeing this. What does this come out in the future, right? It hasn't been released yet, right?
Soon, you know, it's in post-production. They're getting so close. They're just finalizing the sound. They're getting the final edit on this. We wrapped production the end kind of right before Christmas time. And they were really doing editing as every scene that they got, they were kind of editing as we went. So that's going to be out sooner than later. I'm very excited about it.
Okay, good, good. Well, let's chat about County Rescue.
Let's do it.
So there you are. This is a screenshot from the second episode where you popped into Danny's apartment. Tell me about who's the gentleman that plays your husband on this?
That is Corby Linker, and he is a Nashville native and local. He does a lot of music. He writes his material. He's done some directing. First time I met him, and he was such a joy to work with.
Yeah, I was guessing that he was probably a Nashville local.
If I remember correctly, I think he and Brian is the writer-director of Rescue. I think they're close. They have a friendship, and from what I understand, Brian reached out and said, you know, how would you feel about, you know, playing the dad to the lead? And I thought we worked really well together. I thought we made a sweet little family unit, especially offset. You know, we're a little non-supportive on the show, but as far as my family, and then the son was played by Danny Terminello, and he was just a really great actor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times when they're shooting films, they'll get the supporting cast are usually local to where they are filming.
It does help. It helps with change of schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, If I'm in Florida and all of a sudden there's a schedule change and I have to, I understand it's a lot easier when you can just kind of pull locally. Danny, I can't remember where Danny's from. I think kind of the Atlanta area, which is only what, driving distance. To Nashville. And I was the furthest away being in Florida, but it's just a plane ride, you know?
Now, since they filmed this in Nashville, that must have been fun for you going back home to Tennessee.
It was fun. I love Tennessee. Very different from where I live. It's rolling hills. We shot it. I shot my part the first, might've been the first part of June. So everything's fresh, not too hot yet. I know they had a heat wave as soon as I left. But it was very fun to be able to go back.
Now let's chat about your character, Lisa. She is more Mommy Dearest than Mrs. Cleaver. How would you describe her?
Oh gosh, I hope she's not Mommy Dearest. I have to say, she's not the most supportive mother. And when we aired, I think they did a live with some feedback, the very first one. And I was like, oh my gosh. But then I thought, you know what? I've done my job as an actor, right? And if they don't like me, I've done my job. I kind of think this is how I saw the backstory. And I didn't have a lot of time between when I found out I got the role and I was on set. I found out Friday afternoon I got it. And I was in Nashville on Sunday. And then we started filming on Monday. So it was all very fast. So I did, I didn't see her. Okay, she's very non-supportive in Danny's choices. But I saw her as, the father is definitely the financial supporter. I see the mother, Lisa, as being the CEO of her household. And she's very controlling and she likes things nice and tidy. And she seems to me like the type of woman, and we all have known these women and men and people in general, that the appearances are everything. The children are never dirty and the little girls have and the white fence in the yard. And that's kind of how I chose to play her. There may be turmoil inside the house, but outside everything is fine. And when Danny ruffles the feathers of having five different jobs and dropping Hunter as her fiance that we loved, probably because he was great on paper, it shook her a little bit. And she's just confused. Why are you making these choices? But I do think that Lisa, in the end, she very much loves her family. She's just, she can't understand why Danny just doesn't listen to her and follow. She doesn't let her make her own mistakes or really find her own path, because what she's doing is not a mistake. It's just, she's finding her own way and it's difficult for Lisa. That's how I see it.
Right. She's not a bad mother. She just wants what's best for her daughter.
What she thinks is best.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was talking to Bill Abbott about this character, I was like, I don't see Lisa as a non-believer, but I see her as someone that would go to church for Easter and Sunday and Christmas service. She's going to be like, let's leave early so we can catch brunch. Do you know what I mean? Like, I see her doing Christmas, but having the most beautiful Christmas cards, and she hired someone to decorate the outside. It's more important than what, you know, what is the true reason for the season, right?
Right.
Lisa has a lot of learning to do as far as her faith. I don't think it's totally absent. I just think she hasn't done a deep dive into it.
Yeah, she just goes to church for the social aspect of it.
Wants to probably feed the homeless, but she can't feed the homeless without posting about it. Heaven forbid we do something just to do it. You know what I mean? About appearances, but I don't think she's terribly bad. I just think... I think she's going to grow as you see, as you watch the next couple of episodes. I'm not in episode 3, but I am in 4 and 5.
Now's my next question. Are we going to see her change and become more motherly and more supportive as the season goes along?
I think maybe. Actually, in every scene that you see, we just saw episode 2. she was kind of in her face. And again, talking about her appearance, again, it's all about appearances. Did you use that moisture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then she said, I'm going out with friends tonight. And I was like, you are? You see, she just wants Danny to have what she thinks as is a cushiony, easy life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like what Lisa has.
Right.
Home and she's taken care of. But mm-hmm. I think that she does have soft points, and we'll have to see if maybe Danny does rub off on her mom a little bit, or maybe her mom rubs off on her. We will have to watch, won't we?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good point. That's interesting.
We'll have to see.
Now, will Lisa become more religious, you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
One ends, of course. And, you know, I'm just very, very hopeful for our season two. And I would love to see that. I do know the show's about all of the EMTs and their journeys. But I would like, you know, a nice little dive into why is Danny the way she is, you know, and that has to do with how she was raised. And
mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice to have that support or still have that conflict. You know, every good show, it's not just like this. You mm-hmm. have conflict.
Yeah.
If I'm hated, because I'm maybe not so supportive, that's that arc and that's that conflict you need to kind of watch that next episode to see what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what made you interested in this show and this character?
Well, I got this through Treasure Coast Talent, who's my agent out in LA, Jean Winger, and she's amazing. I love her. She does a lot of faith-based projects. She also does secular as well. You know, she's an agent. So she actually, when I booked the role, she goes, I have to call you right back. One of my clients just booked Yellowstone, and she hung up. I was so happy for her, but she got me the audition. I knew it was through Beverly Holloway, who I just love. She is the one who cast me on I Still Believe as the mother-in-law to Jeremy Camp, played by KJ Apa. So I just love any project that they're a part of. I knew it was faith-based. I knew it was going to be Great American Family's first original series. So just to be a part of anything that's a first, all of that attracted me to it. I only saw the scene, my sides that I auditioned to. I didn't see the whole package yet, mm-hmm. but I knew it would be something that, I found it very interesting. You know, I like the faith element, and I like the fact that I love to be part of projects intended for an entire family, whether you're 2 or 102. You know, I don't want to have to ask my kids to leave. I don't want to not tell my grandma not to watch. I like projects that I can be proud of.
Oh, yeah. So you knew when you got cast for this and when you started filming, you knew it was going to go to Great American Media?
I had heard hints and rumblings and maybe or flicks, and then there was a merge, and then there was, so mm-hmm. I am good at doing deep dives and putting things together, but there were rumblings about what was going on, but I did know it was going to be, it's an original series.
Mm-hmm.
It was a first one of its kind, something different, something unique. And so that right there just very much interested me, but I did know it was part of the Pure Flix family.
Oh, okay.
Or there was some stuff, you know, some merch.
Okay. Because a lot of times when you film stuff, you have no idea what network or streaming service it's going to wind up on. You know, you just film it. And
always ask, because I'm curious.
Uh-huh.
Hey, is it going to be in the Big Ben at Walmart for $5? And I'm okay with that. I'm like, great. I'll buy a bunch for Christmas. That is an incredible Christmas. I'm done. There's just rumblings like CW or Netflix. We're talking to Hulu. So I kind of just heard some rumors, and then I just was, mm-hmm. you know, threw it out there.
All right. Now, you've played a lot of characters who are the opposite of you. And then this one, your character certainly is. Is it challenging or fun to play characters like that?
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. You always try to find a little bit of you in there. And I found me in there because I do have a daughter and I do have a son, and I want what's best for them. And I love them deeply, and I want what's the best. But then even if I've played a lot worse characters than Lisa, you know, some snarky, snarky, spicy little thing. But I think it's fun because it's play, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just to get on set and to build a backstory. And sometimes my backstory is different from the writer's backstory, but it's what I'm creating to get me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I like to play something different than me because I wake up to me every day.
It's fun to be somebody else, right?
So fun. Whatever. What do you want me to be? Yeah, it's fun. And even what you were just showing in me with the, I would never wear head to toe pink camo and just bump into somebody and walk along. But I spent the time of my life doing that role.
Yeah. Now in the first episode, the family's in their house and there's a kitchen scene. Is that house? Is that an actual house or was that a set?
No, it's a house. And that's one of the reasons the family, everything, my scenes were, it was very fast. Like I said, I booked on Friday. I was shooting on Monday because they had to do all of the family scenes and kind of, I don't want to say get those out of the way, but just put them in the can. And then they could move on to the meat of the show, which are the individual stories of the EMTs and their lives and the life that Danny is going to, and her path that she's going to follow. So they actually found this big, beautiful home somewhere in Nashville, and it was gorgeous.
Was it in Franklin?
I would love to answer that. I don't remember.
No, okay. I've been to Franklin. There's a lot of nice places in Franklin.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it was beautiful. The yard, you pulled up and then you looked up to the house.
Yeah.
It was a long walk. I put on my sneakers to walk from my parking spot to the house. I don't know where I was though. I just had the address in it. And I also had, I had a driver and we just talked the whole time. I really didn't know where I was.
Yeah,
but it was very pretty.
Yeah. Now, had you ever worked with any of your co-stars before this?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. No, everyone. Oh, no, I take that back. You know, Kristen Wallett, who's playing Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
She and I are friends. She lives in the Tampa area.
Oh, okay.
She sent me a picture on set with Julia Riley playing Danny. And she goes, ah, look. And it was me on the screen and the two of them kind of smiling. So I know Kristen, but I didn't get to meet any of the EMTs. I wasn't there for any of that. So I didn't get to work with her, but we're part of
right.
this.
Oh, so you knew her before you got cast in this. Oh, that's fun.
15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's funny that you both got cast on the same show.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Out of all the people. You know, I think that all the time, how it just is, we're just kind of put together. I love her, that she is wonderful. And her character, her role, Ashley, I think is, oh, so good. And such mm-hmm. and such a love and support. She almost has this light around her.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Ashley's a good character.
And Kristen plays her beautifully. I can't imagine any role.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you familiar with Brian Brah before all this, the creator?
I was familiar with Brian through his work, but I had never met him before. He has worked with another director that is a good friend of mine, Michael O'Seibel. And so we have this 6 degrees of separation.
Oh.
Us, but I hadn't worked with him, but I was familiar with his work. And I really like Brian. I like him as a person, as a human being, but I love the way he not only writes, he's a gorgeous writer, but he is an actor's director. Some directors, it's their way or the highway. There's no collab. There's no, hey, can we talk about maybe adjusting a line or something? He's sitting down and saying, how do you feel about this? Let's talk about it. Or if we'll shoot it and he's like, now what about actor's choice? You know, we did it his way as written. How would you do it? And so I like working with directors like that because to me it's like a team and it shows that he values his choice, who he chose to play the role to kind of create their own character. And I just really appreciate that.
Oh, so he was okay with the cast improvising instead of sticking to the script?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now? Can't hear me?
Not really.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. It sounds pixel. Oh, there you are.
Is it something?
Oh, there you go.
Wait, can you, wait, what, let me hold on. Can you hear me there?
Oh, there you are.
Oh, what's going on? I don't know. It must be my mic or something.
You're perfect now.
I'm not perfect now. Okay. So I was going to ask, Brian was okay with the cast improvising a little bit instead of sticking to the script?
Well, I wouldn't say we did stick to the script. However, from what I understand, Scotty got to throw in a lot of little nuggets.
Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I want you to talk to him. I've heard some interviews where he really gets to throw out, but he didn't just do it. They had a discussion. My character, sometimes Brian would say we would be doing a scene and he would be kind of like, roll with that a little bit more if you want to throw something in. So I would wrap up and then I would maybe do a little bit more and he would let us play with it in that way. But if you were like, would you mind if I put a little button at the end or what would you think about this? He was like, let's try it. And I love that. I just appreciate it. And it may not end up. It may not. But we tried it, you know, mm-hmm. What's the harm in trying it? And I just like working with directors that, you know, that are willing. And sometimes there's no time. It's like, we do not have time. We have to, let's just shoot what's on the page and move on. But I always love working with directors that give you a little bit of freedom to play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 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 Now, were you a fan of medical dramas before getting cast in this?
Love medical dramas. I watched ER back when, you know, George Clooney was on it.
ER, yeah.
I mean, come on. And then Emergency back when I was a little tot. And of course, Grey's Anatomy. I think that show was still running. Yeah. I love it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've played a doctor, haven't you, on some things?
I auditioned for a lot of doctors, Chad.
Have you? Because I saw a picture of you online somewhere wearing a doctor's outfit.
You know what? I was a surgeon, a nurse that went into surgery.
Oh, okay.
I did that. I've played a dental hygienist. But I have auditioned for doctors, and I'd have to really think if I've ever... I don't know.
Okay.
But I have been in an operating room before. Yeah.
Okay.
As a surgical.
All right. Now, if you weren't an actor, would you want to work in the medical profession?
I don't think so. It is highly stressful. As an actor, I always tell myself when I get stressed out, maybe a line I can't stick or... I think it's not surgery. Okay. Yeah. Let's realize what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's, I understand that, but you're not operating on the brain of a child or
right.
This is, let's call it what it is. So that is a level of intensity and also brain.
Yeah.
I have a family member that is a physician. And it's a lot. So mm-hmm. Never even crossed.
Yeah.
I went to school to be a buyer. I wanted to buy clothes for department stores.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? And that's why going back to home shopping, I mean, that was my best job right out of college. I was on camera and I was on TV, even though that's not acting. It still got me used to how to hold my body and what side is the best and how I'm mm-hmm. an and then I got to shop. So that's my speed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great, unbelievable respect for any first responder. Because it is that's stress and that's serious stress. My stress is not serious stress. If I sell a store, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
The company says and go, you got to sell those shoes. but I mean, in the big scheme of things, you know, what I do is fluff compared to what they do.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you weren't an actor, what do you think you would be doing? What do you think you would have wound up doing?
Probably, I would hope that I would have just stuck with the hosting world. Maybe even gone into the buying realm of things, because I really do like retail, but I don't really like math, and that's a lot of math. More numbers and how much you can make the store than it is, you know, selling pretty things. I don't know. I've been so fortunate to be able to do what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the pharmaceutical industry for a little bit before I had my daughter. I did that for about 3 years. And I actually liked that because it was relationships and I liked talking to people. And you know, telling them why my product is better than the other. So maybe I would have gone into sales of some capacity. Because I actually did really enjoy that job. And I was working with doctors at the time, selling to doctors, doing pharmaceutical sales. And I liked it.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. Well, let's chat about some past projects that you've been in. You were in a Lifetime movie called A Dangerous Affair, which I saw.
Oh, gosh.
And it was written and directed by Christy Will Wolf, who directed one of the Great American Family Christmas movies. So I wanted to talk about what was it like working with Christy. I heard she's great to work with.
Christy is amazing. She's a writer, a director, a mom, and the woman is Wonder Woman. I saw a picture on her social media where she's nursing her daughter while directing a scene.
Yeah, I saw that.
Woman times 100. I don't know what is. I loved working with her. I love the character Barbara I played in that movie, because Barbara is a cougar who is all bark and no bite. That woman wouldn't bite for anything, but she sure does have a big bark. And I thought she was fun because she was flirty. And really, Barbara was harmless when you look at it. She was harmless. She was just a saucy little thing. And I liked playing that. That was a lot of fun. We shot that in Miami, maybe 18 months, 2 years ago, something like that.
All right. You were also in a golf movie with Eric Close called The Mulligan. Are you a golfer?
I am not. And I realized what the term was. I had to ask my husband, who is, and he goes, Tanya, that's a do-over. And I was like, oh, I see what we're doing here, because that was a faith-based project written and produced by Rick Mulligan. And this is where I met Michael O'Seibel, who was good friends with Brian Baugh, who directed County Rescue. And this is a faith-based film about a do-over in life. You know, it's not just a do-over. A mulligan is a do-over, a once again, mm-hmm. Let me have another chance. And this was another chance at life. And it just taught us, if you have faith and if you believe and if you truly ask for a do-over, then you will get one. And I shot that I was about a month in Toccoa, Georgia with Eric Close. There's Andrew, there's Sharman Lee, and then of course, Pat Boone at the top. And I was Pat Boone's roommate for a month.
Oh, wow. That must have been interesting.
He was my roomie. I love that man. He would wake up in the morning, I'd hear him singing. He was doing voice lessons and he would read the Bible in the afternoon on the patio. I'd make him breakfast before he had his big scenes. He likes his oatmeal. So I'd get up early and make it for him. And we're still friends to this day. I was out in LA. I have family. My father and my dad, my brother live out there. And I met him for lunch and a little swing on his porch swing in his front yard right now, Beverly Hills. And he's just a special person.
Wow. That's funny. You had to ask your husband what a mulligan was.
I had no idea. I know what a birdie is.
Okay.
Par three, you know, I know what the pars mean. I had no idea what a mulligan was. And I like the fact that in this movie, there's a little bit of history about, you know, how a mulligan got its name. I thought that movie was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's on Amazon Prime. You can also buy the DVD now, but that's a wonderful movie for all ages as well. It has a nice little message to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned this movie earlier, I Still Believe. You work with some big names in this one. Gary Sinise, Shania Twain, Britt Robertson, KJ Apa. Wow.
Melissa Roxburgh. I know all the big ones. Also, Terry Serpico. He played my husband. Okay, that was amazing. That is where I first worked with Beverly Holloway, the casting director, and she cast me in that. It's the true story of Jeremy Camp, the Christian rock star's life.
Mm-hmm.
It is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful movie. I actually was able to meet Jeremy, his three children, and his wife on set. I had scenes with Shania. We had our makeup done side by side. KJ was a treat. He's a goofball, and I love him, and a very good spirit. Gary is wonderful, and he signed his book for me. Britt is such a fantastic actor. That one, I was in Mobile, Alabama for about a month. And it was probably one of the biggest sets that I've ever been on. And I am so forever grateful for that movie. It just, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The only unfortunate part was I think it came out the weekend before the world shut down for COVID. So I don't think it got the theatrical release that it deserved, but it still is something that you can watch and you can stream. And it did really well for the circumstances in which it was released.
Yeah. 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 It's a good film. And you were in this film, First Lady. You got to work with Corbin Burnson in that one.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Nancy Stafford. Who?
Yeah.
And Burgess Jenkins. I don't know if you know him. I mean, there are a lot of little names in this movie.
And Stacey Dash, right?
Stacey Dash was in
it.
Yeah. But Nancy and I have worked on, she's how I got on that movie. They were looking for this millennial wannabe. We all know I'm Gen X. And I said, Nancy, I think I'm too old to play this. She goes, but that's the beauty of it. Your character thinks she's a millennial, you know, and I'm younger than I am. And I'm cuter than I am. And that was fun. It was shot in the DC area. I got to work with Nancy again, and I worked with her on, she was in The Mulligan. She was also in a couple of TV pilots that I did. So we stayed in the same hotel. And actually, my roommate was Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's who they put me with. And then Jen Godson was in it, and her husband, Jim. It was just a really great cast. And that movie is lighthearted and fun and just sweet. It's a fairy tale. There's nothing too serious about it. I just thought it was a precious little film.
And I have to ask you about this. You were on 3 episodes of Legacies.
That's
so
right.
Were you a vampire?
I wish I was.
I know, that would have been fun.
Oh, no, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I play the mother. I'm always the mother, right? Always the mother, which I love. Bring it on. But I played the mother to a girl that was eaten by a radioactive spider. And I was so mad. And I wore her like tribute button on my blouse. And it's interesting. I got the first episode, and then the second episode was a little spicier, right? And then by the third episode, they said, let's bring her back. I was really hoping to kind of have a little cameo in each season. And then of course it's not around anymore, but that was a lot of fun. I love the costuming. I love the cinematography. It was very dark. The sets were really like nothing I've ever been on before. The sets were extraordinary. Even the background actors, down to the shoes. And I just think they should have won awards for costuming. It was really on point. And that was a lot of fun.
Neat. Now, I was also a fan of Devious Maids. I saw every episode of that show. And you were on that for an episode. And the episode that you were on, I think Eva Longoria was on that episode. Did you get to work with her at all?
You know, unfortunately, I didn't. But I love the fact that I was in the episode. You know, a lot of times you think that even though you're in the same episode that you meet everybody. And
yeah.
And what people don't realize is, you know, I'm on Monday and she comes to set on Wednesday.
Right.
Paths just don't cross, or I could be in the morning and she could be in the afternoon. And really, when you're cut, you have to leave set. You can't linger and chat and watch. So I did not get to meet her. I was cast, Mark Fincannon cast me on that. And I remember he called me back and he said, they really love your character and are thinking about bringing her back. And then the show ended.
Oh.
I was like, are you kidding? It was right there, you know?
What about Susan Lucci? Did you work with her at all?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that show had a really good cast.
It really did.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've worked with some big names. Have you ever been intimidated or starstruck with anyone that you worked with?
You know, I have to say, just at the age I am now, I finally realized that we're all people, and not really. I do have respect and I'm not a fangirl, and I don't come up and I have if someone's number one on that call sheet, and they always are, and they're number one in the star meter, I just sit and listen and learn and respect. But I, at the end of the day, we all wake up and we have to brush our teeth, and we're all people. And so I not so much. I think if I maybe in my 20s, I would have been like, oh my God. And it's still really cool to meet these people. They're icons and legends and have been working in the industry since before I was born. Some of them, like with Pat Boone opened up for Elvis Presley when he was around. But I wasn't, it was just an awe. Just, can I sit and talk to you and learn from you? More than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's always wonderful to be able to work with the greats, because there's just so much that you can learn, more than saying that you worked with so-and-so. It's just what you take home from that experience.
Yeah. Now, when I have actors on, I always like to ask this question. Is there a role they auditioned for that you were really bummed out that you didn't book?
I'm sure, always. My job is auditioning.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the big scheme, you audition this much and you get this much.
Yeah.
My job is auditioning. So I know for a fact that I try to audition and forget about it, because if you hold, it just brings you down, and I don't think it's healthy. But sometimes I know that I'll keep checking IMDb and I'll check that project and check that project. And when I finally see the actor's name up with my role, I'm like, dang it. And I can't quite think of anything, just to give you right. I know for a fact there have been where I look and I'm like, darn it. And I will tell you, every now and then I'll be like, I could have done that. But most of the time I will say, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve it. That I get it. That failed that, and I would have hired them too. So I try, but there's always going to be something where I'm like, oh,
yeah. Okay. Do you have any desire to write or direct?
Direct? No. That's like being a surgeon right there. That is. I'm happy in my lane. Directing is so much. Everything has to be firing at all times. Like this side of the plate for a second. It is wild. And I'm in awe of all directors, just watching them work. And they know the ins and outs of that script. And they know everybody, even down to the lighting wasn't right and the angle. And let's go back and do that scene again, because it didn't matter. It's a lot. It's a huge puzzle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Writing, as far as doing something from start to finish, that's in and of itself a whole different thing. But I do love to collab. And especially like in table reads, let's sit down and let's recreate this scene. Or I like to add spice to things. I think that part is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we chatted about a Gunfighter's deal that's coming out and some of the other projects that are coming out. Are there any other future projects you're allowed to talk about you have coming up?
I do have, so I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it or not, but if you look at my IMDb and if you see what's coming up or things that are about to be released, there's one on there that is going to kind of be kind of fun.
Okay. All right.
You have all to right. look. I don't know if I signed an NDA. Can I talk? I guess I can. It's listed on IMDb, but I'm just in case, I'll let you do your own research.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the third episode of County Rescue streams today on Great American PureFlix and airs Monday on Great American Family. Tanya, you are a delight. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
I am just so thrilled that you just asked me. But if I always say, if you invite me to a party, I will be there. Yeah, there's something that just came up and I apologize, but I just, thanks for having me on here. It was so fun talking to you.
Yeah. I could pick your brain all day about the acting and auditioning. And I think it's fun to hear your stories.
Thank you. And I best of luck at QVC. to get, you know, that call back. You just call me and I'll set up an
appointment. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, tell people your social media handles so they can follow you.
I'm on Facebook, but that's just silly stuff for my family. You know, I post quotes and pictures of my kids. But if you want to know what I'm doing behind the scenes, I'm on Instagram at Tanya H. Christensen, T-A-N-Y-A H. Christensen. And that's all things industry related. I don't put nothing personal up there. I just kind of keep it what's going on set, what's coming up, behind the scenes pictures, little reels. And even HSN, even like shows that I have coming up of new products and stuff. Things about Jacqueline Smith and Charlie's Angels. There's all sorts of little pictures up there. And I I was on it and then I got off. Now I wish I never got off. Now I'm back on it because I have to see what's going on with County Rescue.
No, that's right. Right. You got a live post on X while the episodes are on.
I know. And I'm like, darn it. Why did I ever get off? I don't know. I got a little negative. So sometimes when things are negative, I have to pull back a little bit. But I keep things positive on Instagram.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me. And thank you for being here, rescuers. And I will see you next week for a recap of the third episode. Until then, you keep the faith, keep smiling, keep your friends close, and keep your great American family closer. Bye.
Bye.